Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey with you once again on the RPH Network. Welcome to Optimal Life. It's produced in the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, a special program just for us older ones. Today we're going to look at making money selling online. And travelling at home, as it's probably going to be quite some time before we can go overseas again. Powers of attorney, how to revoke them. And great news, the benefits of chocolate. Some of it is delicious and actually good for us. And also on health, what your tongue says about your health. Well, first up today, is it for you? How to make money selling online. Perhaps now with retirement you have a little extra time on your hands. Think about making money. This article from the Sydney Telegraph on the 13th of November, written by Serena Bird, tells us, make cash clearing out your household clutter. You may hear stories of people who claim they make thousands of dollars a month from flipping. That's reselling items online. Some professional sellers do make consistent income this way. That is, especially if they've established a particular niche or vintage or a brand. They might have channels for obtaining second-hand goods cheaply as well. But can you make cash doing this? Is it worth all the effort of listing online and reselling? Well, a little bit of extra pocket money never hurts, especially if your budget is tight. My experience is that every dollar counts, and if you have a financial goal, for example a home deposit, this is ideal. Sell your unwanted goods for cash. It can even be fun. You get to meet new people, experience the joy of your clutter becoming someone else's treasure. But it's crucial to remember that most people will generally receive much less than they paid for an item, and not everything will sell. Okay, a couple of headings here. How and when to sell. If you want to try it, make sure your items are clean and in good condition. Give your clothes a wash, iron them where possible, keep goods in their original packet. If clothing needs a bit of attention, for example, vintage clothing might be missing a button, state that clearly in the ad. It's also important to take good quality, clear photos. Include a professional photo of the item from the brand's website, if available. Choose the right time of the year to market your products. For example, in October, people are likely to be searching for Halloween costumes, maybe race day outfits. There's not much demand for heavy woolen jackets or ski gear now, especially with limited overseas travel. Okay, what do I do with the money I make? A good question. If you like to put the funds from online sales in a separate account, or even better, a micro-investing program, that's good. You get people like Raise, R-A-I-Z, or Spaceship Voyager. You can watch how your savings grow. My husband and I did this 3 years ago when we were saving up for our wedding. We were super frugal. We were amazed how quickly our nest egg built up. It became semi-addictive. Here's an example. Say you make $25 a week from selling items. Over a year, that brings you $1,300. If you invested that money in the bank at 1.15%, it would grow to $1,314.95 in 12 months. But if you put it into a micro-investing app, you'll get a whole lot more. Potentially higher returns could be seen in compounded even. Now, one called Spaceship Origin. That recorded an annualized performance up to August this year, 9.52%. Okay, let's assume 9%. Your $25 a week from unwanted goods could grow to $1,417. Okay, if you've got a pen and paper, I'm going to give you a couple of websites now, but log on and move it out. This tells you how to do it. The best online resources for selling items are firstly eBay. It's a classic site with an international reach. Then there's Gumtree, more community-centric than eBay. Gumtree is a great way to unload unwanted items. Facebook Marketplace. It's super easy to use, easy to link with other Facebook groups. Not everyone is on Facebook, but those who are tend to use it regularly. There's Facebook Buy, Sell, Swap or Fashion Exchange groups. Now there are many of these groups on Facebook, many of them local ones. Try searching your area. And there's Depop, D-E-P-O-P. It's aimed at sustainable fashion-conscious millennials. It aims to connect you with brands and styles. This one is especially good for streetwear and quirky design wear. All right, let's just run over some of those names. If you want to invest the money, there's Raiz, R-A-I-Z. There's Spaceship Voyager. And the other one they say is good is Spaceship Origin. It gave up to 9.25% up to August this year. All right, how do you do it? Just running through those names again. eBay is good. There's Gumtree. Facebook Marketplace. Facebook Buy, Sell, Swap or Fashion Exchange Groups. And the final one they gave was Depop. Hey, that's a good idea, a bit of extra cash, and it also could get us into better using computers for communication. Good luck with that. You never know where it might end. Next up, we're going to look at motoring at home. It's probably going to be quite some time before we can go overseas now, so an Aussie motoring holiday might be just the thing. Well, here's some advice before you go. If travel restrictions have inspired you, try a rural road trip. Be prepared for the different driving conditions. It's written by Tom Pomeroy and taken from the NRMA Motoring Magazine. With international travel still a way off, many of us are planning to explore destinations closer to home, whether it's the Blue Mountains, maybe chasing warmer temperatures way up north. There are countless options within our own borders. If most of your holiday driving in the past has centred on driving to and from the airport, well, be aware that longer road trips can throw up some unique scenarios. Wildlife. Now, this is most often kangaroos or wombats. They need special consideration. Driving in the early morning and at dusk requires extra vigilance. This is because animals graze by the roadside. That's because the grass can be greener there due to the rain runoff. Don't assume that a kangaroo will jump away from the oncoming vehicle. They're highly unpredictable. Oncoming lights can overwhelm them. They might move only at the last instant, or not at all. If you spot one and it's safe to do so, slow down. Flash your lights, use your horn. Swerving to avoid an animal on secondary roads increases your chances of running off the bitumen. You could then run onto the soft edges, making the vehicle much harder to control. It used to be a badge of honour among drivers to tackle vast distances in one hit, drive completely throughout the night. Well, research has long shown that this is a dangerous habit. This is due to your body's circadian rhythms. Now, here's an amazing fact. Research has shown that driving between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. means you are four times more likely to suffer fatigue. This is as opposed to driving during daylight hours. Now, I'm just going to say that again. Modern research shows that if you drive between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m., you're four times more likely to suffer fatigue. Many vehicles nowadays are fitted with alerts. These can be set up for two-hour intervals. Drivers should heed the warning, stop and stretch their legs for a few minutes. Oncoming headlights, particularly high beam, can dazzle drivers at night. If this happens, lower your eyes and look to the side lane rather than straight ahead. Conversely, be considerate to other road users and drop from high beam to low as soon as it's safe to do so. Observe speed signs, including speed advisory signs on corners. road conditions deteriorate and vary greatly away from the freeways. Many have testing limits of vehicle suspension. This can affect their road holding ability too. If you don't know what's ahead, reduce your speed is a very smart move. Ensure that your vehicle is up to the task. Now, it's common sense. Keep it regularly serviced and correctly inflate your tyres, including the spare. Make sure your tyres are inflated to include the additional load if you're on a holiday. Clean the windscreen inside and out. Check the wipers and the washers. Make sure that the headlamps and the high beam are working well. Well, there are a few basic tips, but they're pretty sensible. We might forget them. It's going to be a while before we go overseas. Maybe you're going on a motoring holiday. He says animals graze close to the road at night where its grass is green due to the runoff, so be careful. And the other amazing fact, driving between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m, well, it means you're four times more likely to suffer fatigue than driving during the day. Happy motoring! Hey, here's something that most of us older ones remember, Akadaka. There's no stopping AC/DC, even in their 60s and 70s. The Rockers have notched up their sixth number one album, stretching over five decades. Their latest one, Power Up. They are the only Australian artists to have six chart-topping albums over such a long period. Band member Angus Young said at Sydney's Sony Music headquarters recently, "A big shout-out to all our fans, old and new. You are and always have been our guiding inspiration." Crowded House, Silverchair, Powderfinger and Midnight Oil have five number one albums, while Cold Chisel have just four. When I say they're Cold Chisel have just four albums, it's a pretty good effort. But Akadaka, yes, the old AC/DC, have six number one albums over five decades, and we've all loved them, haven't we? Good on them. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Okay, revoking a power of attorney. This is taken from the Elder Abuse Hotline in November this year. Revoking a power of attorney, or a POA, can be easy. If you have a power of attorney in place, you have the right to revoke that power if you no longer want that person managing your money or your assets. Okay, we'll look at a couple of headings here. Who can revoke a power of attorney? How do you revoke a power of attorney? And looking at the capacity to do it. Firstly, who can revoke the power of attorney? Well, you can revoke or cancel a power of attorney at any time, as long as you have the capacity to do so. Now, we're going to look at that in a moment. Only you can revoke the power given to your attorney. Okay, how do you revoke a power of attorney? Simply by writing to your attorney. You state that you are revoking your power of attorney. You should also notify in writing organisations your attorney was dealing with on your behalf. People like banks, Centrelink. Once you have revoked a power of attorney, it is best to destroy all copies of the original power of attorney document. There is no specific form to fill out when revoking a power of attorney, but there is a sample revocation document on the Land and Property website. Okay, a document revoking a power of attorney must state the following. Your name, the name of the attorney is optional, the date of the power of attorney first put in place, the registered number of the power of attorney, if registered, in which case the revocation must also be registered, the date of the revocation, words indicating cancellation, such as, "I hereby revoke the following," land, property and information, etc. Now, if you lack the capacity, you cannot revoke an enduring power of attorney, an EPO. Now, this is important. You've got a power of attorney and an enduring power of attorney. If the power of attorney is not enduring, then it ceases once you have lost the capacity. If you lack the capacity and family members or concerned others feel that your money and assets are being misappropriated by your enduring power of attorney, the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal, the NCAT, have a process in place to investigate these matters once an application is lodged. The next question we ask here is, what can the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal do? That's the NCAT. Well, if an application is made to the tribunal and they find that your money and assets have been misappropriated, they may decide to allocate a financial manager. This is someone who would manage your funds for you. This may be the New South Wales trustee and guardian or an appropriate family member or friend. Now, I'm going to come back and look at the subject of capacity to do this. Capacity refers to an adult's ability to make decisions for themselves. When revoking a power of attorney, you must understand the nature and consequence of the decision that you're making. Professionals, such as doctors, can assist you in determining your level of capacity. Now, it's a big subject here. You can revoke a power of attorney, but there are two things. There's power of attorney and enduring power of attorney. And of course, you've got to look at whether you or the person involved has the capacity. That is, the capacity to make their own decisions. So the best one here is the New South Wales trustee and guardian or an appropriate family member. Check it out. This is Optimal Life, brought to you on the RPH Network. Earlier in the program, we looked at the subject of travelling at home. Well, now we ask, do we need travel cover in Australia? This is from the Sydney Telegraph on the 22nd of November, written by Claire Sutherland. And it is a question and answer type article. The writer asks the question, I fully appreciate the need for travel insurance if you're travelling overseas. But, owing to coronavirus, we intend to travel at home on the GAN. We want to go from Darwin to Adelaide next year. We're Australian residents living in Sydney. One of the brochures we've looked at indicates that we should take out travel insurance. We have private health insurance and also Medicare. Should we take out travel insurance? What are the risks of travelling around Australia with or without such insurance? Okay, the answer. You would be covered by Medicare and your private health insurance for any medical emergencies. This is things that might happen while you're travelling domestically. But travel insurance isn't just for medical bills. For instance, if you were to be hospitalised on your trip. Travel insurance would cover expenses such as a hotel stay for your partner. This is while you recover. There'd be flights, rescheduling fees, taxi fares, and the like. Travel insurance also covers you for theft, for instance, if your camera was stolen from a hire car or a hotel room. Also lost luggage. Most policies include coverage for any hire car damage as well. And while you won't find a policy to insure you against the costs incurred in relation to COVID, they do cover for other expenses. Things like related cancellations, delays due to natural disasters. For instance, if it's a wet season, you could be flood delayed. You might have to change your departure, have to stay in a hotel for a few days. These are all possibilities to weigh up when thinking about your decision. But the fact that you're already covered for medical issues means domestic travel insurance policies are far less costly than overseas. If you decide to go ahead with insurance, take it out as soon as you book your trip. Why? This is so you're covered for non-COVID-related cancellations closer to departure. The writer's a little bit ambivalent there. She says travel insurance at home is optional. Hey, here's some great news. Chocolate is good for you. flavanols in dark chocolate benefit your brain, heart, and mood. For those of us who wish we could eat as much chocolate as we crave, a new study from the University of Birmingham is good news. In fact, it's as good as it gets. A team in the university's School of Sport, Exercise and Rehabilitation found that people given a cocoa drink containing high levels of flavonoids completed better. They were better and more efficient than those drinking non-flavonoid-enriched drinks. Flavonoid-rich drinks also produced a faster and greater increase in blood oxygenation levels. If drinking enriched cocoa makes us smarter, well, we willingly submit. The study's lead author, Dr. Caterina Rendiro, points out that flavonoids are present in foods including grapes, apples, tea, and berries. But they're also in cocoa when extracted from the cocoa bean, and that is used to make delicious chocolate. Researchers found volunteers who had taken the flavonoid-enriched drink performed better. This 11% better on average. What a job there, being a researcher for that, eh? Well, now, our results, she said, showed clear benefit for participants taking flavor-enriched drinks. But only when the task became sufficiently complicated, she said. We could link this with our results on improved blood oxygenation. If you're being challenged more, your brain needs improved blood oxygen levels to manage that challenge. It also further suggests that flavonoids might be particularly beneficial during cognitive demanding tests. Science regularly goes to and fro on benefits of cocoa-enriched dark chocolate. It's type of expert debunker. It reminds us that not all chocolates are the same. Dark chocolate and cocoa have higher flavonoid levels, while milk chocolate and other chocolates contain lower levels, but they might have more sugar, fats, and calories, so you've got to be careful. Enhancements working memory performance and improved value information processing have also been attributed to cocoa flavonoids. Now, here's some good news for us older ones. It goes on to say, the study concluded the cognitive performance of elderly individuals was improved by daily intake of cocoa flavanols. Factors such as attention, processing speed, working the memory, verbal fluency, these were all greatly enriched. Lead authors Valentina Socci said that flavonoids had potential to protect cognition in vulnerable populations over time. They improve cognitive performance. Now, in 2018, researchers at the Southern California Uni found consuming dark chocolate with at least 70% cocoa was positive. It helps stress, inflammation, mood, memory, and immunity. These studies show us that higher concentrations of cocoa, the more positive the impact of cognition. It helped memory, mood, immunity and other effects as well. The study confirmed that cocoa flavonoids are extremely potent antioxidants and anti-inflammatory agents. There's known mechanisms beneficial for brain and cardiovascular benefit. The Lona Lena Institute study also backed this up. The results suggested that chocolate could slow oxidative stress. That's a condition where the body has too many free radicals. That's waste products generated by chemical reactions in the body, they said. It also has antioxidants that can help repair oxidative stress. Well, that article's just almost too good to be true, isn't it? It says that chocolate is good for you. Now, I've got to research that. Dark chocolate is good for you. And I must stress, be careful of other chocolates. They can be full of sugar, fat, and calories. But dark chocolate, pretty good for us. Sounds like the more the better. Okay, we're going to stay on health now and have a look at what the tongue tells us. This is quite interesting. How often do you start the day by inspecting your tongue in the mirror? Does it sound like an odd question? Well, the colour, texture, and appearance of this muscular organ can tell you a lot about your overall health. A happy, healthy tongue tends to be pink and dotted with small nodules, and if not, something might be wrong with you. Now, things like a fuzzy coating, painful sores, these can all indicate something's wrong. They are telltale signs and change in your tongue what they might mean. Puffy or a thin tongue. This can indicate a lack of moisture or nutrients, and a very thin tongue could indicate you need to drink more water. A change in colour. If your tongue looks darker than usual, it could be something amiss. A red tongue may represent heat in your body, such as fever and temperature changes. However, it can also indicate a lack of vitamin B12. Other factors about your tongue now. A coating on the tongue. A thick coating is often considered reflective of poor gut health. A very thin or absent coating on your tongue can be a signal of dehydration. Bumps and lesions. It's important to take note of your tongue texture. A bump on the tongue could be a warning of bacterial or viral infection or of an allergic reaction to food or medication. And cold sores can even appear on the underside of your tongue. Now, maintenance of the tongue. To clean your tongue, they are advised to place a pea-sized amount of toothpaste on your scraper or your toothbrush. Gently run it over the surface of your tongue, giving it a little time to combat any bacteria. There you are, your tongue is most important, and a bit of maintenance too. Give it a brush or a scrub now and then. But do take notice of your tongue, it can tell you a lot. Well, that's all we've got time for today. I hope you've enjoyed the program. You've been listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. I'm Dave Jeffrey saying thanks very much for being with me. Look forward to your company again soon. Bye now.